This is Barbara Hendry interviewing Mr. Herbert Butler on August 4th, 1992 at the Kyler Senior Center for the Kyler and Brownsville Research Project. This is side one of tape number CB/006BH.
Well, I started working for the S&E. It was the S&E at that time, Savannah in Atlanta. At a young age, I reckon I was around about 17 years old, wasn't but a nothing big husky boy. Uh-huh. And I was working there, I reckon, but maybe a couple of years, and was a man, bridge gang foreman, living in Springfield, and he knowed me by working on that track. You call it the section, that's a repairing track, you know, keeping the track up, you know. And he told me one morning and say, "I need a water boy down on the bridge gang, and you two rather young to be out there on that track trying to do that heavy work." Saying I'd like for you to go with me and be a water boy for me and work yourself up until you get big enough to do and strong enough to do a man's work. And so I went with him, and had to go sometime, maybe a half a mile, a good distance to get water and to bring it back there to the men that were working in here for him. And so I done that until I got able to do a man's work, and I stayed that worked on the bridge gang, I reckon, about 20-some years.
Okay, so first you started out on the tracks at 17, and then this man said, "We'll wait till you grow up some, be the water boy for a while." Now, explain a little more about being a water boy, what that job was like, what exactly you had to do.
Bring water and keep just like working on a bridge gang. See, you don't be up and around water all the time, and you have to go a distance to get the water and keep them in cool water. Sometimes you have to go maybe a quarter of a mile to get to a well or a hydrant or somewhere and bring the water to them. And then when we go back and get some more and keep them in water.
How did you carry the water?
In a bucket.
Just with your hands?
Yes, ma'am.
That sounds like a heavy job.
No, it wasn't no heavy job. We just keep your study going. Uh-huh. Go the time you get back with that, go back and get some more, because that'll get hot in the summertime. Get them up, keep them in fresh water.
So that's, you pretty much did that throughout the work day, went back and forth to fresh water.
That's right.
And how many years did you do that?
Well, I reckon around about, I was 17, I reckon around about two years, of course, 17 when I was 18, 19, I would be 19, give it 3 years. That would not start at 17, 18, 19, and 20. Well, then you'd call you about grown then. That'd be.
Well, what were the wages like as a water boy?
Well, I guess it was around small prices. Back when I started on the railroad, it wasn't getting around 15 cents an hour, 15 and 14 cents an hour. Very low price.
How did that compare to other jobs in Savannah at the time?
Well, they all were running around about on the same scales. Mm-hmm. None of them was no high price. Mm-hmm. When I worked out there, I think when I worked left the, I worked on then for about, I would say around 20 years or better. And I on the bridge gang, see now you're on the bridge gang, you get your feed, your food and everything, and then they take out a 25 cent a meal for your eating, and a day, a meal, and then I know I worked there for a long time, and I never, and the railroad long then they was only paying round about, I never did get go home with take home pay with over around $40 and $45, and was getting all paid off every 2 weeks. Now you know that is a very low price.
Was from about 1820 to 1800. That was.
I was born 1902, and I think I was 9 years old when the first century was taken out. And then I reckon that was must have been around 1918 or 19. And then after I got worked there, of course I didn't work there steady because I was young then, and I left and went off and took me a trip and I was off and gone about 2 years, and then I come back and I went back to the railroad. And I stayed there, right back to the S&E, and I stayed there, I reckon, till I left there. I heard every time I'd go home, it was around about how much money it is making during this. You remember the Southeastern Shipyard used to be in a room?
I heard of it.
Well, every time I'd go off and go on the Shield Bridge Gang, that was a traveling gang. I'd go back, come back home, and they'd tell me about, boy, they're making and paying you, getting paid off every week. So around in 1934, and I got married, then I said, well, I ain't going back. I'm going to see, can I get me a job out to the shipyard and be home? And so I went out to the shipyard around, I think I left the S&A around in 34, somewhere along in there. And I went and got me a job to the shipyard, and I worked there until the shipyard closed down. Then I went to the Central, and down to the Central Railroad shop, and I manned by the master mechanic or the superintendent, whatever was he was named, Mr. Flowers, and I went to him, and I looked like the Lord was just with me that day, and I got me a job down there to the Central. I was only a laborer, and I worked there around about 19 years. Then I worked there until the Central and the S&A and the Central merged. And then but I was still working with the and then I while working with the Central, the Central and the Southern merged. And I was still, then after the Central and the Southern merged, then later on, I think the Southern must have bought control and interest of the Central, and then they took off. See, the Central of Georgia used to be a repair shop, overhaul engine from bottom to top, take all the wheels out of them, all everything from under the engine, and rebuild them and all kind. And later on, after the Southern They took all the work here from Savannah and carried it to some other big place, and then they got rid of all them fellas what been down there. Some been there 40 and some been there 20, 30 years. They had to get out and look for another job. And then I think that around bound or in the 60s, and one morning they come in there and they say, well, they're going to get rid of a lot of you boys, but see, on a job like this, that you, the older men can pull the younger men, the one what been there longer than you. But I wasn't laid off in that rush, but I was pulled by another man by the name of Oscar Balls, and so that I was still out of a job.
Uh-oh.
And so I was out in the street, but later on I got a letter from Mr. Dillard that all them what was laid off and didn't have no job, they would be rehired, or they would gonna pay them 10 or 20 cents of what they was making while they was working. Mm-hmm. And so later on, they started to hire them, some of them what had been there around 19 and 20 years, back as firemen. I reckon you have heard of that. I don't know whether you have hired some of them back as firemen.
No, I didn't hear that. Did you get hired back?
Yes, they said they was gone. I got hired back, but they didn't tell you the whole story. It was only temporary. They said they would be rehired, but they didn't tell you it was just only for temporary. That was just to prove that an unexperienced man could do. See, they had done got rid of all the steam engines then, and they had diesels.
Okay.
And I reckon they figured, long as they had to throw that coal in them engines from Savannah to Macon and all them different parts, they needed somebody with strong what could keep them engines hot. And after they wasn't nothing but a sitting down job, on a diesel, all you have, the fireman had to do is make water and watch the sand and oil on it and all like that. And so they figured that was too easy, I reckon. And so they got rid of all the firemen. And then I was out of a job again for good.
How long did you work as a fireman?
Around about 12 months. Yes, that was just a temporary something they done to reprove that an unexperienced man could take care, could do what had to be done on a diesel. See, but back when they had them coal burners and things, you took a man what could stand something to look at them fireboxes and throw them coal in there and keep them engines hot. Then after they got them diesels, nothing but a sitting down job, your firemen used to have to throw coal and keep them engines hot and then ring the bell. But after they got them diesels, all that done by air, the bell, you can get ready to ring the bell, the engineer just match a button and the bell go to ringing. And so then I was out of a job again, but I worked in the around there for quite all that time.
So I'm interested to know a little bit more about the work itself, starting back from when you were on the bridge gang way back in your younger years for SNA. What did you do? What was your job as a member of the bridge gang?
Well, I was, after I worked there for, I reckon, from around it, I reckon say 9 or 10 years, they made me a kind of a lead man, you know.
Uh-huh. And, what was the work like every day? What did you do on an ordinary day of work?
But well, put in call that we wouldn't know. Well, keep the trestle. The bridge gang is a gang that keeps up all the trestles.
Okay, all the railroad trestles.
From Camac to Savannah, that's what we had put in pipe. It looks like a water sewer to go through there, get back, see that, and check them and see that dig. And if they had needed pipe or anything put in, we the bridge gang did do all of that. And yes, ma'am.
And how many people would be on a gang?
Six men, and the boss. Sometime it might have a stretch form of the code. That's a man that they got out there learning how to do this work. Put in ties on trestles and all like that. That's the bridge gang work.
And you would travel through the week and come home on weekends?
When I was if I want to come home, all I had to do, the boss man, he could write you out a pass, and all you do is working for the SNA. All I had to do is get that pass, show that pass to the conductor, and you could go anytime, go and come anytime.
Free train ride, that was a benefit?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
So would you take off most weekends and come home?
No, sometime I didn't come home in about 2 or 3 weeks.
And how far would you travel?
From Savannah to Camac, wherever we was located at, if we was in Savannah, camping, and we had camp cars. If he's camping in Savannah, and I leave to catch a train and come on home. I was living in Springfield. I'd come on home, and then I'd have to go catch the train that Sunday evening and go back. If I come home on Saturday, I'd catch a train that Sunday evening or that Monday morning to get back there on time to go to work.
And you said you lived in camp cars?
Well, on the railroad, yes, ma'am.
Could you describe what the camp car was like?
Well, they had to built camp cars they built them right there to the shop, take box cars and repair them and put beds in them,
okay.
One on top, one here and one up there, have windows all on the side, screened in and everything, just like a, just like a home almost.
And was there a little kitchen there? Yes,
we had a cook too.
We had
a cook.
It sounds like you must have become very friendly with the people on your gang, the men on your gang. You spent a lot of time together.
Well, I'm mostly just how you get along with your boss man. And look, and he, after he taken made me a lead man, and I was the one, I was. Give me now. I was getting the highest price after, and it wasn't too high.
What was it like once you became a lead man? How did your salary improve?
Well, it wasn't no more than a few cents more than the rest of them was getting. That's all.
And what did you have to do extra to be as a lead man?
Well, I had to work just like the rest of them, but I had to. I learned how to handle the timber and everything. I was just like long back in that time, you had to use ropes to load the timber down, and the boss man had learned me how to do all of that, and that is my job to see that, to load that 12 by 12 sometime, 14, 15 feet long down to, in place where they got, and they had the gang down there, low them down and see that nobody nobody didn't get hurt.
And were most of the men on the gang black men, or
all the black men, but the boss man.
And so you were on the bridge gang for almost 19.
Around 19, more than 19. I think I was around there in the 20s.
So you were about 37 years old or 38 years old when you decided to quit the railroad?
Somewhere along in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
And then what did you do for the shipping?
Well, I was on a slab there where they make up, bend all that steel. What when they had a long furnace there, I reckon about 20 or 40 feet long, and they pulled that, they had some kind of winches there where they pulled that steel into that furnace, and when it come out, they had a whole lot of patterns that they put on to take it on that slab, they take it, go around, put that slab down there and mark all, make it out of what it's like, how they want to bend that steel. Mm-hmm. And when they put it in there, it come out there red hot. And they had men up there things, and we had the 12-pound hammers, and we had to be and had a ramp there. You push that steel around, and man, he using that just going around and bending that. That's for that was for them to bend. That was for them ribs and them ships, That's heavy iron and. Oh boy, that was a rough job, though. But I stick and that thing. When they get that, you hot enough here, you could bend it with a. And then you had to dog it down and all that. But I stayed there. I reckon around about 3 years until it closed down.
So you were actually doing that heavy work of the steel work.
Yes, ma'am.
And how did the wages compare, wages and conditions between the shipping job and the bridge gang?
Well, I liked it better because I was getting paid off every weekend, and then it looked like it was more in a week because when I was on there, weird gang, I didn't get paid off only 2 weeks, and then I wasn't all ever had $60 to kick home money.
For 2 weeks of work on the bridge gang. Yeah,
I'm trying to take out for your feed and everything.
Do you want me to get you a glass of water, Mr. Butler?
Yes, ma'am, I think.
Okay, let me just turn this.
They took out so much of money out of you, and they paid so much. That is railroad insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And did you have any other activities? Like, did they have picnics or any kind of parties or anything special on the holidays for the workers?
Well, one time they had them. Oh, that is when I was with the SNA. They had a excursion to run from Savannah to Waynesboro, and had a big barbecue and everything up there for the railroad. That's the only time I can remember, and like I ever anything like that.
So the Central. Central of Georgia didn't really have anything.
No, ma'am.
Well, what were the relations like between the different kinds of workers, between the laborers
and helpers?
And,
well, it wasn't much different long back in them time. Cause just whatever the boss man tell you to do, if it's a labor work, you go ahead on and do that. If you do, you know yourself would know the difference between labor work and you see the helpers and all doing, and we all just whatever the man tell you to do, you better do it if you want to stay there. If it's a helper work or labor work, because I know a whole lot of time I'd be doing helper work, but it wasn't nothing I could do about it, but go ahead on and do it, because that's what he pulled me to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the difference between helper work and laborer work?
Well, they get a good bit more pay in a labor.
A helper does?
Yes, ma'am.
And why is that? Is the workforce skilled? Did you have to?
Well, the helpers have a union.
Okay.
And when you're in a union, they have to pay you a certain pay.
Right. And what kind of work did they do? What was their job description if you were a helper?
Well, you'd be working with a mechanic.
Okay.
Just like you helping him to all helpers. They have a man they work with. Just like he working on the brakes and working on diesel pulling heads and all that. That you were doing his whatever he points you to do.
You worked right along with one of these skilled people.
I have did it, but still I wasn't getting helper pay.
But you did had to do helper work sometimes to keep your job.
That's right. Putting on brake shoes, taking off brake shoes and all like that. That's supposed to come on the helper job, but if they tell you to do it so you take your job, you better go ahead and do it.
Both black and white men as workers?
Well, a helper, he would be working with a white man. He's a machinist or an electrician or air brake man or all like that.
But the helper would usually be a black person?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Did they have a separate union that they belonged to, the helpers?
I think they did. Mm-hmm. I don't know too much about it, but I think they all come under about the same. I mean, the helper and the mechanic, they all come under about the same union.
Now, did you ever think about objecting to doing that work and not getting the pay? Did you ever think you should have been a helper, hired as a helper?
When I would be doing helper work, I would think I was entitled to helper pay. But in a case like you, when you had to do whatever they tell you to do, you just go ahead on and keep your mouth shut and do whatever they tell you to do.
Otherwise, you fear for your job, I guess.
Yes, ma'am.
And the union didn't reach out to try to help the laborers.
Well,
get you involved.
Well, they had a man, but he was a colored man.
Mm-hmm.
He was working too, working there. But he was a helper, but he was. Looking after the union.
Okay.
He wasn't gonna venture out too far. Might hurt him, man. Would put him out in the street.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So the manager really held the power.
That's right.
Yeah.
He had to work for as he could, where he knew that he wouldn't be hurting himself. Mm-hmm. So far he could go. Yes, ma'am. I'm from the railroad.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. I've been on pension now about 20 years or more.
Well, that's good.
I reckon longer than that because I'm 90 years old.
So when
ma'am?
You worked on the Central until they were taken over in the 60s.
Yeah.
And then you were off for a while.
Yeah.
And then you were back on for 12 months as a fireman.
Yeah.
And then you were off again.
Yeah.
So as a fireman, you were just watching the diesel engine. Was that your job?
No, I was, as a fireman, I was going from one place to another. It's like a regular farm, just like you would get on a silver meter and go. Sometimes I'd be on a through freight, and when they took off all the firemen, I was in Augusta on a switch engine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sometimes I'd be on through freight or local or something, a different place like that.
Friends with your co-workers? Did you do things with them after work? You go out together with the people you work with?
With the color, we all go out together and going home. Then when we knock off, we all had to go in, take a shower and change clothes and then go out in the street and go on home or wherever we want to go, you know.
Go out for a drink after work together, or
ma'am, go out for which?
Go out to a local bar.
Sometimes we stop in Thursday after on payday after payday. We also stop in and get some beer or some whatever want some water drink or something like that.
So did you keep seeing any of these people after you stopped working there? Did you keep meeting with them for social
purpose? Oh, you mean after I was off the job?
Yeah.
No, ma'am, I never did. Because after I left in the railroad and everything, a friend of mine here down there to Chatham Steel, they wanted a night watchman. And I got a job down there as a night watchman, and I worked down there, but I wasn't quite old enough to retire, and I worked down there until I made about three or four years down there, 3 years as a night watchman.
So you worked from age 17 to 60. How old were you when you quit being a night watchman?
Well, I was around in the bronze, around 60. I was up in my 60s. I don't know, around 64.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere around in there.
Now, I think, did you tell me that you are from this part of town? Where were you born?
Effingham County.
Effingham County.
Yeah.
Okay. Springfield,
Georgia. That's in Effingham County, right up there, about 27 miles from here.
Yeah. And when did you move to Savannah? When did you move your home to Savannah?
Around in 41, somewhere back in there.
And what part of town did you move to?
I was living on Grenet Street, and then when they started to put that project up in there, we had to move. Well, it wasn't I was renting, and then I went found a place out there on 36th Street, and I bought then.
Mm-hmm. And is that where you still live today?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, right up there on 36th Street.
I didn't get your address, Mr. Butler.
710 West 36th Street.
In the 1940s to
36th
Street.
I'm pretty sure.
Do you remember what your neighbors were doing for a living back then when you first moved to 36th Street? What the people in the neighborhood were doing
some was working at different places, different factories, and some working the union bag, some working. Egyptian plant and some working Hercules and all them different places, some of them sugar refining.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Were there many other railroad workers that you knew of?
Yeah, was a fireman. He lived right down there, about four doors from me. He was working fine. Me and him used to be on the. He's a fireman. He had been on there for around 40 years as a fireman. And let me see. And he was about the only railroad man that lived that close to me.
And how would you get back and forth to work each day from here to the roundhouse?
I'd go up there to West Broad and catch the bus, the West Broad bus, and get off down there on right there. I forget the name of the street that goes right down to the shop, roundhouse.
Harris Street. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I think the bus service was better then than it is now.
Yes, ma'am, a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm. And were most of the people homeowners then on 36th Street?
Homeowners?
Yeah, you said you bought your house.
Well, between Hardin and France, mm-hmm. I know it's four homeowners right in that block there. The one on the one next door to me, Mr. Law, he's on his own. Me and Miss Harrington, and the one down on the lady who lived down on the corner there, Florence, she on her own home.
And do you have any special memories of the neighborhood back in the 40s, the kinds of things you would do after work? Would you visit with your neighbors? What was it like to live here back then?
Well, I don't know too much about long, but we all got along nicely. Mm-hmm. Back along in those days, it's a whole lot much better than it is now. Long back in the, when I first moved, you wasn't scared to sit out on the porch and go, somebody gonna come along and shoot you or do something to you, or even that didn't have to lock up so tight like you do now. Long back in there, it was much better people back long then than it is now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When would you say it started changing for the worse?
Well, I couldn't hardly. No, I couldn't tell you exactly.
It's kind of gradual, I guess.
It's been, round in the 60s, I reckon, I'd say, things started to change, and you know, things got to.
I think we're about at the end of that.
My boss man name.
Oh, that's an important question. What was your boss man's name?
Jim Jones, they call him. I think it was Jim, must have been Jim Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he was the master mechanic in the shop. And he was the head boss.
And was that for most of the time you were at Central of Georgia?
Yes, ma'am. I was under him. Mm-hmm. But the big boss, when I went there, Mr. Flowers, I was hired under him. Mr. Flowers, he was over Mr. Drone and. Well, the master mechanic, the one that hired me, he never did that. He'd be in the office all the time. But this is Mr. Drone, I don't know. He never did like me too much, I don't figure. And then he was very, very mean and looked like a. And he always asked me, Sarah, how come you don't talk like the rest of the fellows? You know, some people they get around the boss man, they talk too much, and another man, you ain't like the rest of these fellows. They already talking. You don't never have nothing much to say. I said, well, I never have too much to say. I never was a great talker. Mm-hmm. And so then...
So do you think he saw you as being a little different from the rest of the people?
From the rest of the... You know, some men, they love to run to tell them all about what happened Saturday night and all what went on in Monkstick. But they ain't gonna tell you nothing. Just let you listen at what you got to tell you, but have amongst you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I never was a kind like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you think you were penalized, Eddie, for being a little different and not
yes, ma'am.
Talking up to the bosses?
That's right. Oh, he never did those. And then I was lucky enough to get back on as a fireman, and he did. They had to push him out there, would make him retire. He done go, and he'd come down there in the shop and want to boss right on, and they stopped him to the gate.
Oh, you mean he'd come back after he didn't work there anymore?
Yeah, he'd come down there. Come back, there's a little thick confectionery right outside the gate there on Harris Street, to the right there by the shop. And one day I come in on a through freight and come out by there, and he was, "Ah, well, Butler, you're making big money now, eh?" You was entitled to it, because you was a good worker for me when you was down there with me, 90. And he sit right up in my face and tell me, one day I asked him about getting off in the afternoon. I said, "I got some business to tend to." "What kind of business you got to tend to?" He sit up there and look at me a long time. Say, "Well, go ahead, you ain't worth a damn know-how when you're here."
Oh. Mm-hmm. That didn't do a lot for a person's feelings, does it?
No, it didn't show, didn't it? So, yeah, but he had to get out. They had to put him on the outside the gate there to find out that I was a good worker when I was with him. And I remembered right back when he told me that right out there, I was on the inside the gate there. It was in the noontime. I told him I wanted, and I remembered what he told me. I wanted to tell him about it, but I wanted to tell him that. Say, "You remember that day when you right out the inside the gate that you told me?" And I said, "No, yes, sir."
So you turned the other cheek on that one.
Yes.
When you had the chance to get a little back at him.
Yes, ma'am.
Ooh. Well, who was in charge of giving raises and that, you know, when you were working those 20 years as a laborer? Did you get many raises in pay?
No, ma'am. I don't remember. Not no raises to amount to anything.
So what was your wage like when you started and when you quit? How much were you getting at the beginning, and not when you quit, when the other railroad took over and, you know, you had to leave for a while?
I don't know. I reckon might have been around 40 or 50 cents somewhere along back in there.
An hour?
Yes. Because you didn't get paid off only every 2 weeks, and I think sometime after they take out everything, you'd have around $75 or $80 to take home money.
And how many hours a week did you work? I didn't know.
48 hours.
48?
Yeah.
6 days a week?
Yes.
And you were on shift work?
No, sometime you didn't have much of, just like they wanted to, they need some kind of labor, you know, they were sending him anywhere, just like you had a truck there. If you want a man that drive the truck, needs somebody to go, a labor to go with him to help him do some work or care some lumber somewhere, they had a little, had a mill in the shop there and everything. You want somebody to help him go care, that's what a labor do.
And what time would you usually get to work? You said 11 to 7, was that?
We'd go to work at 7:30 and get off at 4:30.
Okay. That was your and how about lunch breaks?
We have 30 minutes for lunch.
And you generally brought something from home to eat?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any other breaks during the day?
No, ma'am.
No coffee breaks or any of this stuff?
No coffee breaks. They had a place out there, but we go out there on a little confectionery on the outside there, but that's only for the whites. You, when you go to the job, you got to stay on that job until lunchtime. If you want anything, you could go out there while in them 30 minutes. But other than that, you...
So the whites could take breaks and go out to the confectionery?
Yes, ma'am. I mean, they could go outside there and either send somebody out there if they wanted something.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But
the color couldn't do that.
You just had to keep working and just had your half hour off.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. Then if you wanted to go out there and get a drink or something in there, if 30 minutes, you could do that.
I bet you were glad when that 4:30 rolled around.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you ever have to work overtime?
Yes, ma'am, a lot of times.
Did you get paid extra?
Yes, ma'am.
Not much extra,
no,
I guess.
No, ma'am, not too much.
Sounds like you've been working very hard for many years.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I've been to hard work. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I made it this far, but Lord, just like a fellow told me down there, say, you 90 years old, say, you must be done something good in your life.
Yeah, you must have.
Well, I always try to treat everybody as I wish to be treated. And I'm a person like, I don't like to hurt nobody's feelings because I don't like for mine to be hurt. And that gets on me. When somebody hurt my feeling, and then I can't say nothing. That's a hard pill to swallow.
That's awfully hard when you fear for your job and you can't say what you really feel about the injustices.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been a very difficult and challenging time.
That's right. The good Lord brought me safe this far.
Did you ever have any health problems on the job? Did you ever hurt your back?
No, I never had no health problem. Only I got sick on the job one time. And I had to have an operation. I was going to work one morning and I don't know. I used to, back long then in my younger days, I liked it. And I had some kind of sickness and I didn't know. And I work and I take a little drink and I guess that was against me, the sickness that I had. And I was going to work one morning and I got so hot and the sweat was just dropping. It looked like a cold sweat was coming off me. And I went to Mr. Drone and told him, I said, I'm sick and I think I'm going to go back. Go to hangover. Go up there and get you a bottle of salad pack and take a dose of that. You do be all right. You get some of that liquor out you.
Oh, no.
In a room. So I scuffled on through that day and got me a strip. The Central Georgia Hospital, you know, it was out there You remember heard of Central Georgia?
Yes, I have heard of it.
Well, and I got me a pass, a strip to go out there to the doctor that evening, and told him about my condition and how my reaction and thing, and he put me in the hospital, and I had a rum. Had to have an operation. Had gallbladder trouble.
Oh, so you had to have that removed.
Yes, ma'am.
So you were probably laid up for a little while.
A good while.
Was that hospital for Central of Georgia employees?
Yes, ma'am. All up and down the road, they come from Macon and all down there to the same hospital.
Was it free?
Yes, ma'am. You didn't have to pay nothing.
Okay, we're almost finished. Thanks. Could your families use it too?
Yeah.
Your wife and children or daughter could use that hospital. That sounds like one benefit anyway.
That's right.
Well, can you think of anything else, Mr. Butler?
No, ma'am. I think that's about it.
Anything else you want on this tape that your children and grandchildren can and great-grandchildren can hear, because I'll give them a copy of the tape.
Well, I think that'll do it for this time.
Okay.